Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, you know, abortion is happening, as we know, too much in our country. Hundreds and thousands of babies are still dying every single day. Since Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton became those Supreme Court decisions, over 62 million and even more children have lost their lives. But there's been a lot of other people wounded too, especially the mothers. And that's what we don't hear enough about. And today on this program, we are going to delve into that, and we're going to talk about why there should be called a moral outcry in our nation about abortion. So let's welcome now to our program some dear friends of mine, starting with Molly White, who is, of course, very, very involved with the Justice Foundation down in Texas and also with Operation Outcry. And also another special couple, Mindy and Danny Thibault. And they were involved in first coming up with this whole concept of moral outcry. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, Janet. Hi, Mindy and Denny.
Glad to have y'all, as I say, or how we should say down in Texas. How y'all doing? Okay. How y'all doing?
That's right.
So first, Molly, just briefly, because, you know, I know you do have an abortion story as a woman who's who really has a story about the moral outcry that there should be for abortion. So tell us just briefly about your story.
Well, when I was younger, Janet, I got pregnant outside of marriage, and being young and naive, I went to a doctor's office in the little town where I lived, and the doctor came back in with my pregnancy test and said, "Well, you're pregnant, but you don't look too happy." And he walked over to me sitting on the little bed there, and he patted me on the knee and he said, "Well, don't worry about a thing. You can have an abortion." And at that moment, he planted a seed in my head that I would have never thought about, because abortion was not part of my world. I didn't know anything about it. I never heard about it. But being young and naive, you know, thinking, well, a doctor wouldn't tell me anything that would harm me or a baby. And he wrote me the number to an abortion clinic in Austin, Texas, on a prescription pad, and he handed it to me as I walked out the door. And on the way home, you know, I started considering, wow, you know, this could be a way that I could avoid shaming my parents. The father of the baby had already left me. And, you know, I was thinking, well, if it's legal, certainly it can't be a baby yet. You know, the baby can't be formed yet. And so I just kind of started toying with that idea, ended up at the abortion clinic, but I was having a lot of turmoil with my mind and my heart. And so I asked the woman behind the desk at the abortion clinic about fetal development. And she, now I was probably, I was probably 8 weeks at least pregnant. And she took a pen and then put a little dot on a piece of paper and said, it's no bigger than this little dot of cells. And of course, you know, they whisked me in the back. I was very hesitant, but they whisked me in the back, gave me some pills. And before I knew it, I was on the abortion table undergoing the most humiliating and painful experience I've ever been through, and it traumatized me for many years, led to alcohol abuse, drug abuse, anger at men, depression, suicidal ideation, another abortion. And it was when I met Alan Parker back in 2001. Probably I heard him on the radio around July of 2001, and he was representing Jane Doe and Doe and Roe, and they wanted to have their cases overturned, and he was looking for women who'd been hurt by abortion. And to sum it all up about the moral outcry, I wanted people to know how abortion hurt me. And I knew that I wasn't the only woman hurting, but I felt compelled to be part of the Justice Foundation, part of Operation Outcry, because abortion is the greatest injustice against pregnant women that that Satan has ever devised, really. And so that's that kind of started me off to sharing my testimony and going through many other doors that God has opened for me.
And of course, the lies they told you, you know, about that little dot on the piece of paper, just a bunch of cells. I mean, that lie has been perpetrated like for decades by the abortion industry. In fact, even if they do an ultrasound, they only do it for one purpose. It's a search and destroy mission to see which procedure they're going to do to kill the baby. They keep the Doppler off so you don't hear your baby's heartbeat, and they don't let you see the thing. So abortion is no way empowering or informative for women. They want to keep you in the dark. They just want to sell an abortion. But now let's go to Denny and Mindy for a minute. From what Alan Parker of the Justice Foundation told me is you were the two that first came up with this idea of a moral outcry petition. So tell us, Mindy, how did you get involved in this whole idea?
Okay. So we would probably have to start with the scripture that was given to you.
Yeah. When the Lord started provoking our heart to get in this battle, we were at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And we were given a scripture out of nowhere from somebody. And that scripture was out of Ezekiel 21:27. And we were actually praying for the ending of abortion in the moment. And the, when the scripture came through text, it said in Ezekiel 21:27, it says, I will overturn it, and it will be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And when that scripture came in that 2-hour set of praying for the ending of abortion, we grabbed a hold of that scripture and just said, oh my goodness, Lord, you're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. This is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. So I brought it home and shared it with Mindy, and we spent some time in prayer and just said, Lord, what do you mean by this? So
we started fasting and praying and saying, you know, we had spent quite a few years already being advocates for newborn adoption. Babies that were being saved from abortion and saved from going into the foster system. And so, but the abortion side of it was fairly new to us. We were really trumpeting adoption of the newborn as an avenue to abolish abortion, of course. And so we went into a time of fasting and praying and thinking, you know, this is not something we really ever intended to get involved in. But Lord, if this is your will, then you need to give us some kind of strategy, because they've been fighting this for years and years and years. And it was just one morning I was in prayer. Sorry. And I saw William Wilberforce whittling out his petition before Parliament. And I thought, he ended the slave trade with a petition of the people. Could it be that we could do something like this? And we had already been in touch with Alan. And so we contacted Mr. Parker through an email and said, has anyone ever done a petition right to the source to say, we don't agree with what you did in 73. American people want this overturned. And we all went into prayer, Mr. Parker and Denny and I, and just said, okay, Lord, is this what you want? And we all felt within a few weeks that the Lord was really calling us to this. So that's how the petition began.
That's incredible. And what you alluded to there was that's how the slavery in England way back ended, was this petition to Parliament from the people. Right. And so that really, that your minds made that connection. And you know, in fact, we refer to abortion as just like the civil rights movement of today. We talk about that. And when you think about, you know, people say to us things like, oh, come on, you really going to overturn Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton? Well, heck, the Supreme Court at one time said that Black people could be slaves and property, and that got overturned. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a history of injustice coming full circle and being overturned. So now the wording of the moral outcry petition, I guess then legally, I guess the Justice Foundation and Alan Parker must have worked on that, right? So Molly, you must have been in on some of this wording of the petition. How did that happen?
No, actually, I wasn't really involved in the wording of it. I think Alan did a brilliant job, but he and I and many others have gone to the United Nations many, many times. And we have been fighting for life at that, during the women's conferences and other conferences. But one thing that we did mention, it was that abortion is a crime against humanity. And it's really written in the, it's defined by the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court Explanatory Memo Random. So when we started mentioning that abortion was a crime against humanity, I think that was one of the precepts that Alan Parker used in the Moral Outcry petition. So I think Mindy and Denny probably were a whole lot more involved in the wording other than, you know, maybe Alan having this already in his mind as we have spoken about it before, but I wasn't involved other, you know, any other time in the writing of the document.
So at what point, I guess this is back to Mindy and Dave for a minute, at what year was it? Like, what was the moment that, you know, Alan worked on all the legal wording, I guess, for this petition, so it would resonate with the court, right? That this is a crime against humanity. So how did we get to the final wording, and when did you first launch the Moral Outcry petition?
Well, the Lord gave the vision of Wilberforce on March 9th of 2017. We began working on it in April. June 19th of 2017 was the first soft launch that we did in Colorado. And we had invited 100 women that were part of ministries across the nation to launch it to them. And then our official hard launch was at the Call on the Mall in DC with Lou Engel. And we completely had already had the website ready. Everyone could just use their phones and sign. And so that was the day.
October 9th.
October 9th was that day. And so we worked with Alan on there's five pillars, and Molly is correct. The first pillar is that this is a crime against humanity, that it is withdrawing protection from a human being. And then the second one also involves Molly because of the 4,200 or more women's affidavits that it hurts and destroys women's lives, which is the Operation Outcry project. And then we also included the third pillar was the safe haven laws, that you can relinquish your rights to your child at a certain period of time per state, and you'll receive no repercussions to it. And then the next one is the fact that there is scientific evidence now. We didn't see into the womb in 1973 like we do now. And of course, our social media is just blown up with everybody the minute they get a positive pregnancy test on a stick, you know, that they're having a baby. And then the final one, what Denny and I were very involved in, is the fact that over 1 million people are wanting to adopt a newborn at any given time.
Wow. So let me just repeat again, the five pillars then, of course. Number one, abortion is a crime against humanity, right? Number two is the hurt and the damage that it does to women. And we know that between Operation Outcry and the Selling More Awareness campaign. I know, Molly. And you know, Molly, if you add up all the abortion recovery programs that are out there, right? I mean, there's Rachel's Vineyard, there's Save One. There must be almost two dozen, at least, nationwide and worldwide, even some of them, abortion recovery programs. Well, if a woman needs to feel she has to go for recovery from the damage abortion did to her, well, then that's a problem, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's so obvious. All right, so now pillar number two is that it hurts women and damages them. The pillar number three, of course, is Safe haven laws. Let's just pause for a minute because people may hear that term safe haven. What does that mean? Well, the safe haven laws, and Alan has schooled me in this. He's done a good job. In every state.
He's good at schooling.
I know he is. In all 50 states, safe haven laws means, every state in the nation has it, that if a woman, a young girl, teenager, whatever, gives birth to a baby, And she wants to walk out of that hospital and say, not for me. No, I don't want to take the baby home. She can walk out, no questions asked. That's the first point. Second point is, oh, she takes the baby home, says, oh, I think I can do this. Gets home, a few days, a week, whatever goes by. That's the part of the law that it changes per state. I know in Texas, Alan told me, you got 60 days to change your mind. And you can literally, let's say you're home with that baby a week and that teenage girl says, I'm not doing this, or a woman's even in her 20s and 30s and says, I can't cope with going back to work and dealing with this baby. You can literally take that baby to a fire station each day to list the different places. You can just walk in, say, here, surrender the baby and walk out. No questions asked, no problems, right? So the safe haven law is really, there's no excuse to have to feel like you must have an abortion when you can give life to this child and walk away, no questions asked, right? And of course, the fourth pillar is so important, because in Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, it clearly said, oh, well, we don't really know about when life begins and the unborn, so we're not going to deal with that. Remember, they just kind of left that vague comment in there. Well, for goodness sakes, we certainly know when life begins. We can see it. At 6.5 weeks, that baby's heart is beating. So that's a pillar that's really very, very true now. Like, come on, this is a baby. It's not a dot like Molly was told on a piece of paper, a bunch of cells. And then, of course, the last one is that there are millions of couples, and I know many of them, who are just wanting to adopt a baby. So there's never, ever a reason right now in our nation, a nation that is so blessed like America is, that we have to think we solve the problem of an unexpected blessing, I call them, an unexpected blessing of being pregnant, not quite planning on it, but it was unexpected, where we cannot give life to that child. So I love the Moral Outcry petition. I've signed it. I've encouraged countless people to sign it. So if someone wants to sign this, come on, I hope we're all inspired right now. Those five things
yes.
are so important. Tell us, Mindy and Denny, how do we sign this? Where do we go to sign the petition and get on board? What do we have to do?
You can use your laptop, your tablet, your phone, and you go to themoraloutcry.com. And we pretty much have it covered that if you even spell it wrong, it'll go right to the petition. And you can sign it, scroll down and sign it with your finger, your name. And it takes like
20 seconds.
I say 10 seconds. Yeah. Depends on how techy you are.
Yeah.
But we have over 530,000 signatures today. And we created a scroll, 150-foot scroll, 5 foot tall, with over 250,000 signatures last year that we took before the Supreme Court on their first day in session in October, which we're repeating again here in October on the 4th, just after the 1 million Angry Women March, where we will roll out two scrolls that will be over the 500,000 mark with everyone's names on the scroll. It's a beautiful thing. And we'll do a time of praise and worship and just cleansing the ground and just preparing for the new session that the justice.
All right, I want you to find my name on the scroll and with your cell phone take a picture.
Yeah,
I want to see my name.
Found mine.
Yeah, that might be a task.
And Mindy, we're looking for 1 million signatures. Yeah. So you know,
million plus.
Yeah,
we're not going to stop.
Guys, we don't want to stop anywhere, but. Right. You know, now's the time. I think because of the heartbeat bill in Texas that have gone into effect, and the Arkansas ban on abortion, and you know the Mississippi case that's before the Supreme Court, is on a lot of people's minds. And boy, let's get on the online and sign that petition, because your name will go down in history, and be registered at the Supreme Court. That you were part of ending abortion in America. What can be more exciting than that?
Well, yeah, like we could be the William Wilberforces of today, you know, to end the scourge of abortion in our nation. And you know, so, you know, this is for everybody to get excited about. I mean, I hope right now, listening to us, there are churches. Can you imagine if every denomination across America, every single denomination, had that petition, like that they could just be signing after services this coming Sunday, we would have millions and millions and millions of signatures, wouldn't we? I mean, Amen. Like, yeah. I think this is a challenge to churches. Come Amen. On, your church family, you should be signing this petition. Get on board. Because what of those five pillars you couldn't agree with? I think that, see, to me, this is a real examination in prayer before the Lord. What don't you agree with of those five statements? They're yeah. such common sense. It's so real. It's like, I don't know. I just feel this has to be a real educational, drive here to get wake people up. And I think we are at such a time as this, like you were saying, Molly. We have the Mississippi case. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, in Mississippi, they have passed a bill to ban abortion after 15 weeks. And the whole case, there were three questions put before the Supreme Court with, of course, the pro-aborts. They're trying to overturn the law in Mississippi that they're trying to protect the babies. And they're taking one question, which I think is very interesting. They're taking the question of viability. That's the question that they're going to be looking at. And so we need to be praying for that Mississippi case. The court goes back into session, like you're saying, on October 4th. That's when they're back. We don't know when during those next few months exactly when they're going to hear the Mississippi case. I can tell you right now, we won't get the results till June because they seem to hold off giving their decisions on what we would call hot button cases. They wait till June and then those come out. So sometime next year, we're going to hear about this Mississippi case. But meanwhile, right behind it, ushering right behind it, is this Texas heartbeat bill. And I want everyone to understand, there has been several states that have passed heartbeat bills, but they've been blocked. Ohio passed one, Georgia, and I can't remember all the other ones that have done it. But there's something unique about this Texas bill that has, they reconstructed it, I guess, a little bit different than those other states. And I don't know, Molly, because you're the Texan here. You want to just comment like about the pride here in Texas? You kind of refashioned the heartbeat bill in such a way that it's holding up right now. So what can you say about that?
Well, it's an ingenious concept that the legislators, I don't know if it was the author who is Shelby Slauson or Brian Hughes who put this language in there, but it's genius. It allows the patient or a relative of the patient who has an abortion and was lied to that the baby's heart isn't beating yet, and come to find out later that that wasn't true or whatever, they can sue the abortionist. And so this opens up the potential of driving the abortion business out of Texas because we're going to sue their pants off. And so that is, instead of having regulations and trying to make sure that the abortionist follows the law, we just opened up the door to for patients and relatives of the baby to litigate, to file lawsuits. And so, and you know, I want to add real quick, because I testified on a bill in Oklahoma that's very similar, and this bill passed and was signed into law, but it allows a woman or anyone related to the baby that was aborted to go back and sue the abortionist at the time that they realize the abortion killed their child or hurt them in some way. So like me, 13 years in denial that abortion hurt me, but at the time that I realized it was abortion that caused all this trauma and that it was a sin, it was hurting me. From that moment, 13 years later, I have 3 years to be able to go back and sue the abortionist. So, wow. So this is kind of, and I don't know if Texas kind of rode on the strings of the Oklahoma bill, but these two bills are fantastic. And that's what makes them different.
And what I like about the Texas bill too is it has an enforcement component within the bill that if you hear of an abortion that happens once a baby's heartbeat is detected, you can then make the authorities aware, and then that abortionist can be charged, right? I mean, so it's got teeth in it too, which I think is amazing. So In closing, let's just remind everyone, though, the real purpose here right now, we're going to pray about Mississippi. We're going to pray about Texas. But everyone listening to this program, we want you to go to themoraloutcry.org, right?
.com.
Okay, moraloutcry.com, and sign that petition today. Because, brothers and sisters, we should have every person who professes belief in Jesus Christ should be signing this petition. So please do it today and go to your church family and get them to do it too. So Denny and Mindy, any final quick comment?
Well, I was just going to have Denny mention, you know, Denny and I have traveled all over and we share the Moral Outcry and different things. And we've had that happen at churches where they set up kiosks in the back at the end of service and every one of their members signed.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
It's quite powerful. And I say, take it to your friends as well. Take it to your sphere of influence. Post it on your Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, and just see how many signatures you can get and help us out. This is more than just Mindy and I and Alan, you know.
You can also go to the Justice Foundation, and at the top, there's a recruiter toolkit that if you push that, it'll give you all the things you need to be able to give to your pastor and people around you.
That's fabulous. I can picture, you know, outside at the back of the church, people there with all those tablets lined up, and you could just be getting them to sign right then and there.
Exactly how they've done it.
That's right. Amen. So, Molly, any closing comment?
Well, no, I just, like you said, we just really need to pray for the Texas heartbeat bill and Mississippi case and, of course, the moral outcry. You know, Satan is not happy and he is trying to manifest himself all over the country. But we know that he's been defeated. He only goes around like a roaring lion with no teeth. So, but we do need to increase our prayers, especially for the Justice Foundation, Mindy and Denny, for the pro-life groups that are out there. We really need to increase our prayers for protection and covering over them.
Right. Well, thank you all for joining me today. It's been a blessing for me, a pleasure to have you. And brothers and sisters, now you've got your homework to do, okay? Moral Outcry petition, everybody, within the sound of my voice right now, go to that website, sign the petition today, and let's see how many people you can get to sign the petition to. I want to hear by October 4th, we're going to get over 1 million signatures, and I think we can do it. So thank you for joining me today on Just Ask Janet, and God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.